there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
So please make sure to cheer very loudly for Wendy Zukerman and Joel Werner.
Hey, Wendy here. So recently, supervising producer Joel Werner and I were traveling around Australia performing an episode of Science Versus Live. And today we're going to play you one of the stories from our show, which we performed at the Beaker Street Festival in Tasmania. Joel takes it from here with an amazing story about when you cannot believe your own eyes. Here's Joel.
This story starts in Sydney, Australia in the early 1980s, and it's a story about a little boy who was 2 years old at the time.
He was a lovely two-year-old, articulate, very interested, very involved in everything, a little bit weird, you know, but very interesting child.
This is the boy's mum, Barbara. She remembers the little boy as having shaggy blonde hair, running around the house, wielding a lightsaber like Luke Skywalker. He was her only child.
He just enjoyed life, you know, never sitting still, didn't want to watch TV, wanted to go and explore, wanted to look, wanted to play games, you know, and he was a healthy little boy, and that's, you know, he was very healthy.
But then something happened to that otherwise healthy little boy. Something that no one could explain. It was the start of a mystery that would follow the family for years to come. And it all began one day when Barbara, her mum and the little boy were out doing the weekly grocery shop.
And it was winter, I remember, because he had a little overcoat on and he was walking along. Mum and I were talking and he was in the middle of us.
After the shop, the three of them would always go and get something to eat.
As we were walking to have some lunch, my son was in between us and he held his hand up and he said, "My hand's small."
Now, at first, Barbara didn't think twice about this. Kids say weird stuff all the time, right?
You know, I said, "Yeah," I put mine beside him and said, "Yes, it's much littler, it's little." And he said, no, really little. And then I looked at my mum. And then she took over and she said, "What do you mean really little?" He said, "Like really little, like a doll's hand."
As far as they could tell, the boy was seeing his hand as if it was completely shrunk in size, miniaturised. Neither Barbara or her mum had ever encountered anything like this before.
Then we looked at each other and I panicked straight away and I looked up into my mother's eyes and she's giving me a calming look. But even I could see in her face, this isn't right. And he was worried. That was the part that scared me the most. He was worried.
By now, Barbara is freaking out and her mind races to worst case scenarios. What could be causing this? A brain tumour? Some kind of psychotic episode? Is the little boy hallucinating?
If anything was wrong at any stage with my son, I was totally off the planet. I couldn't cope. And you imagine, if they fall over and scrape his knee, I've panicked. But if he's standing there with his hand there telling me it's the size of a doll, I'm absolutely out of my mind. I was really, really worried. I thought there was something really badly going on with him.
So the next day, Barbara takes her son to see the family optometrist. And it's the 1980s, right? So you can totally get a next day appointment.
And he was thoroughly checked, all behind the eyes, everything was checked. The optometrist said his eyes are perfect.
And yet these episodes keep happening again and again. Every few weeks or so, Barbara's son's whole world starts shrinking.
And it would not only be the hand, it would be the feet. He would look at his feet and he would say, "My feet are little, it's happening again, it's happening again, it's happening again." And he wouldn't say anything else, just it's happening again, and we'd know.
Now, what's really weird is it turns out that this isn't just happening to Barbara's son. Kids all over the world have been experiencing really similar, bizarre symptoms. And so I wanted to find out what on earth was going on with all of these kids. So let's leave Barbara quietly freaking out in the 1980s, and we'll catch up with a doctor who's ended up obsessing about this almost as much as me.
All right, very good. I'm Osman Farouk. I'm a pediatric neurologist, and I'm here at the University of Buffalo in Buffalo, New York.
For Osman, this started one day when he was sitting in his office clearing out his inbox, and he came across an email from one of his mentors. His mentor had sent Osman a book chapter that he'd been working on and asked the young neurologist to give his opinion.
And I thought, oh, come on, you know, you gave me a, sent me a book chapter. How am I supposed to go through that? I don't have time to even finish the things I need to do. But I have a huge amount of respect and admiration for him. So I thought, okay, let me just open it and I'll read the first paragraph and I'll send him a comment saying, you know, great job.
You know, great job. Politely blowing him off. We've all been there. But that didn't happen. So Osman pulled out the chapter and he started to read.
And I ended up reading the entire book chapter in one sitting, which I've never done before. I was just awestruck at this topic.
And the topic that made Osman so awestruck? It's a little known, somewhat bizarre syndrome with a very curious name.
The syndrome is called Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Alice in Wonderland syndrome. This chapter, which had consumed Osman, describes a bizarre condition which was first identified in the 1950s, where people, often kids, see things either bigger than they are, which is called macropsia, or smaller, called micropsia. This is what the little boy in Sydney had. And the name obviously comes from the Lewis Carroll books, where Alice grows and shrinks as she eats and drinks on her adventures in the psychedelic wonderland.
So it's really interesting because people experience that exact thing, that where they feel like they're growing in size or shrinking in size.
And it's not just growing and shrinking. Kids with Alice in Wonderland syndrome experience a whole bunch of bizarre symptoms. So things like seeing wrinkled surfaces as if they're smooth, which is sometimes called arugopsia. In some cases, they experience chloropsia, which is described as green vision. Some kids sense everything as moving in slow motion. So as Osman's sitting in his office reading the book chapter, he suddenly realizes.
Oh my goodness, these symptoms are what I had experienced as a kid. And it didn't hit me right away. As I got about, you know, one or two pages into the chapter, I thought, oh my goodness, I understand what had happened to me as a kid. I would experience my hands and my fingers kind of swelling up like sausages. I would feel like my arms are growing in length. And when I would move my hands and fingers, it would seem like they're moving in slow motion. When I first started to experience these, it was quite terrifying.
Osman is so weirded out that he had this syndrome too. He finishes reading the chapter and walks into his colleague's office.
And I think I had this look on my face, kind of like, you know, in the movie The Ten Commandments, when Moses gets the revelation, you know, he looks like a changed person. And my nurse looks at me, she's like, what's going on with you? And as I'm explaining it to her, she says, this happened to me when I was a kid.
Osman starts researching everything he can about Alice in Wonderland syndrome, and he finds out that one of the most common reasons that kids get this, kids like Barbara's little boy, is when they get an illness, that, and often an illness that is associated with a fever. So things like influenza or Epstein-Barr virus, they could be to blame. For Osman himself, this was a clear trigger. As a kid, he got sick a lot.
And each time I would get sick, I would have these sensations where things are either moving in slow motion or my own body parts were unusually large. It would happen consistently every time I would be ill. And so much so that I would actually fear getting sick because I knew that I was going to have these sensations.
According to Usman, one idea about how infections might cause Alice in Wonderland syndrome is that when you get a fever, it can change the way that blood flows in your brain. And if that area of the brain affects vision or is linked to perception, then maybe that's what triggers the wonky vision. Curiously, Barbara did tell me that while her little boy was generally healthy, he did have a string of fevers in the weeks leading up to his world shrinking. So maybe those fevers had somehow affected his brain? One clue as to what brain areas might be involved comes from a patient of Usman's, a 15-year-old girl who started experiencing Alice in Wonderland syndrome and even had an episode right in front of him.
She felt that her fingers were elongating so that she could switch off the light switch on the wall. And, you know, we saw her kind of moving her hands up and down, and we said, well, you know, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm trying to turn the light switch on. She didn't realize that it was on the other side of the room. She felt that her finger was right there.
Now, in this particular case, the girl had epilepsy, and her epilepsy was associated with a part of the brain that processes visual information called the occipital lobe.
And so we felt that it was giving kind of false information to the vision centers of her brain.
But Usman says there's unlikely to be just one Alice in Wonderland syndrome spot in your brain.
It's not like that. All of the research that I've come across, at least, has identified multiple different areas of the brain. Sometimes it's the temporal lobe, sometimes occipital lobe.
In fact, there's a lot that we're still figuring out here. Like, why do some kids get fevers and have these it's happening again moments, but most don't? Just quickly, this syndrome can happen in adults too, and it's mostly linked to migraines, which also affect blood flow to the brain. Interestingly, Lewis Carroll suffered from migraines, so some people have speculated that maybe he had these bizarre symptoms, and that's what inspired Alice's adventures in Wonderland. The good news is, as far as we know, the syndrome isn't dangerous. For most kids, they just grow out of it and they're totally fine. Which brings us back to Barbara. Over time, she just got heaps less anxious about her son's mysterious condition.
I calmed down and actually I became blasé. You know, it's happening again, yeah, whatever, go out and play.
And eventually, when the little boy was about 6 years old, it's happening again just stopped happening.
There were many times you said, it's happening again. It's not just one or two.
But so that's yeah, great.
But like I said say, you.
But there were many times
you, my son.
So let's, like, okay. Let's go for a mum.
Now, I don't usually coach people when we're interviewing for the show, but my mum just kept giving away the ending.
Like, when was the last time that it happened? Do you remember it happening?
I remember you coming home from school in kindy.
I remember him coming home from school.
I remember him coming home from school in kindy in the car.
That's right, the little boy is me. A tragic tale of a cute kid turned science journalist. It's like got a terrible ending. I told Mum about everything that I'd learned reporting the story.
So I looked into this, yeah. And it's actually a thing with a name. So it's called Alice in Wonderland Syndrome.
Really? Really? I'm absolutely stunned. And I can't believe, because I'm a Google maniac, I can't believe that I didn't Google it. I'm really peeved that you did. Just don't tell me that it's damaged you, okay? Just don't tell me I didn't look into it enough and you're damaged.
After I convinced Mum that there were no lasting effects and that any damage to my brain has been purely self-inflicted, she was just excited that this decades-old mystery had finally been solved, and I promised to never interview her for a story ever again.
Yeah, lovely. That's great. Thank you so much. It's lovely chatting to you. I love you.
To hear more from our live show, you've got to check out our full episode. It's in our feed right now, so you've got to just search for Science Versus in whatever podcast app you're using. That's Science VS. And then click on the episode When Your Eyes See Lies. There's two other really, really fun and wild stories that I think you're going to love. So just search for Science Versus in your podcast app and then click on the episode When Your Eyes See Lies. I'm Wendy Zuckerman. Back to you next time.